There, now we're talking, or at least you're hearing better. Great to have everyone today. Sorry for the inconvenience of kind of twisting the service around a little bit, but it seems like, there was a guy named Matt Nienheist that would tell his wife 30 minutes before they were ready to go that they were going to California. And I don't know if David has inherited some of that same idea, but anyhow, he called me last night and said, we're going to Huron tomorrow, and so it takes about a little bit longer to get there than I can safely, comfortably do it if I just leave right after church. So we're going to start the service with my message first, so I hope that doesn't twist your head around too awfully bad, because church is something that we kind of get used to, and we like our own pew. How many of you have a pew and you sit in it almost every week? Yeah, and what happens if somebody's sitting in your pew when you get to church? You take somebody else's pew, and then they take somebody else's. It's kind of the ripple effect. So anyway, it's just kind of fun. Today we're looking at the life of Abraham. We've been looking at that for some time. But I want us to look at Abraham, the man of faith, and Abraham's ability to look in faith. You know, in the Bible and in our lives, there's many people searching for a lot of things, aren't they? People are looking for something. They're always trying to find something different, something new, something, some sort of change. What are we looking for? What are you looking for in your life? Is there something you'd like to change, something that you would like to be different? What are you looking at? Abraham focused his attention. What are you looking at? What are we looking at? And are we looking with eyes of faith? Some people are looking for happiness, and they kind of constantly never find it. They constantly have things that interrupt their happiness. Some people are looking for love. You remember the song, looking for love in all the wrong places. Are we looking for love or acceptance or fulfillment or a sense of purpose? Jesus said that whenever we want something, he said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who seeks will find. Everyone who asks will receive. And one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if you have a son who asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or which of you would give a snake instead of when he asks for a fish? And if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, won't God give good gifts to us? As we think about it, as we look for the ultimate things that we want in life, the things we're looking for, it's kind of, you watch people, and it's like a dog chasing its tail. Have you ever watched people in their lives, they just kind of seem to go around in circles, or they seem to be on a treadmill? They seem to never be getting anywhere. As a pastor, sometimes people never seem to get anywhere spiritually. They're constantly looking, constantly asking, constantly searching, and yet never able to find or reach the goal that they're looking for that leads to fulfillment, peace, and happiness. Jesus told us that we should seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. That if we seek him first, if we seek God first, if we seek the things of God first, then all the rest of life follows along and falls into place. The pagans look for everything and they don't find it. But if we seek first the kingdom of God, we will find it. Well, the funny thing is, as we're seeking after something, we don't know what it is, God is seeking after us. How many of you ever noticed in Luke 15 how many ways God is seeking for you and for me? In Luke 15, you have the three stories of the lost, and in the, it's pictured that a shepherd that has lost one sheep. What will the shepherd do? He will go out and search for that one sheep. While we're kind of blindly looking for God, God is intentionally looking for us. And that shepherd had to go out in the wilderness and maybe risk some life and risk the other sheep, believing them alone, to find that one sheep. God is willing to do whatever it takes, and he doesn't give up. He doesn't. We might give up, but he doesn't give up in reaching after us, to find us, to find that lost sheep, put it on his shoulders, take it home to safety. I mean, maybe the sheep was bruised, maybe it was scared, and I imagine it was, but he is willing to go after that lost sheep. The other two parables in chapter 15 of Luke is that of the woman who lost a coin. And so what'd she do? She cleaned her house, searched for it, and found it. And when she found it, she rejoiced. God looks at you as something precious, something that he is willing to spend the time and the effort to search for, to reach after. And you know, if you have loved ones that are not there yet, seem to be on a different page, seem to be out of the loop or whatever it is, just remember that God is making every effort to, and he knows how to, he knows which buttons to press. You know, my granddaughter likes to press the buttons, and she'll just keep pressing them on a phone or an iPad until something happens. She knows when you press buttons, things happen. And God knows how. He knows which buttons to press. He knows how to reach your heart. And he will. He does. He will make every effort to reach the heart of those that are lost. And of course, the last one is the lost son. And then the father just kind of has to wait until things get so bad and the son comes back. God is out to look for us. In fact, in Luke 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man," Jesus Christ, that is. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. It says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." And so God, we're looking for him, even though sometimes we don't know it. You know, we want love. Where do you get love? Where's the best source of love? Where's the ultimate source of love? That's God. It's nice to get it from people too. We're looking for peace. Where do you find peace? Well, the Prince of Peace is Jesus Christ. Peace in our heart. We're looking for fulfillment. I'll tell you what, whenever he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," you will have all the fulfillment that you will ever need. We're looking for him and trying all the other things to get those feelings, that comfort, that peace, that hope. And it's right there in Jesus Christ and in his Father God. Abraham was looking. But he was looking in a little different way and maybe in the right place. If we look at kind of the preliminary to Abraham's looking in faith is whenever God spoke to him, and that's in chapter 12, if you want to turn to your scriptures there. It says, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country or from your country, from your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make you your name great in all, and you will be a blessing. Not only would God bless him, but he would be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and will curse those who curse you, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. What a tremendous statement. I mean, can you imagine God speaking to you and saying, I will bless you. I will bless you. In fact, when he speaks to Israel, I'll bless you in the field. I'll bless you in your home. I'll bless you in your children. I will bless you. And Abraham got this kind of initial promise of a blessing from God. Who can deliver the blessings? Can deliver the peace. It's amazing to me. Sometimes I watch people go through tremendous trials, just painful situations. And they do have a peace that the Bible says passes all understanding. They have a hope, they have a confidence. Whenever he says, you won't walk alone, he says, I will be with you, God says. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we know that God is with us. His rod and his staff, he comforts us. God is able to give us that peace when we know him for real. Now, if you just kind of think of God as kind of a something almost or maybe there, that makes it a little harder. But when you recognize, see, and experience the reality of God, it can take you through places, the darkness of which people look and be amazed at what God can take you through. They will be amazed at how God can change your life, how he can touch your life, how he can renew your life. They will be amazed at what God can do. And I it amazes me as I watch those people. And you know who you are. Maybe you don't think about it much. But how many times has God brought you through a trial, a hurt, a pain that you just wouldn't have imagined that you could have made it through? And yet God gets us through. Well, Abraham had this promise and Lot was with him. Of course, Abraham had, you know, whenever you read the Bible, it's kind of interesting. You need to be careful how you read it, don't you? Because sometimes when it tells us a story, it doesn't tell us, well, this was the moral of the story. It just tells us what happened, right? I mean, when Abraham lied, whenever he was going, there was a famine and he went down to Egypt. And he had his wife, and she was pretty at 75 years old or 60 or however old she was. You know, you can really be beautiful at that age, ladies. At any rate, he had this wife, and she was a treasure, a beauty queen to him. And he knew that Pharaoh and they would kill him for her. And so he said... And this kind of gives us a lesson on truth, but he said, well, she's my sister. Well, yes and no, at least according to his wording. She was the daughter of my, father, but not my mother or something like that. At any rate, a kind of a half-sister or something to that effect. But anyhow, she was his wife. And he lied about it. Now here God had promised him, and he was trusting God, but just like us, sometimes our faith isn't as strong as it should be, is it? And it doesn't tell us that Abraham was a perfect man all the way through, but it tells us that if you watch Abraham's life, you'll see that his faith grew from that point to where whenever he was to go out against these nations and God told him to go, he was ready to go. 318 men against a whole army. God told him to go. He went. And he won through God's deliverance. And then whenever God told him, take your son, your only son. Now, I'll tell you what, that was a matter of faith to do that. And so Abraham's faith grew. But it just tells us the story. My wife used to say she hates to read the Old Testament sometimes because it makes her mad. Whenever Sarah said, well, take my young handmaiden. He said, Abraham, he argued with her. He said, no, I couldn't do that. No, he said, okay, whatever you say. You know, and it just tells us the facts, but it doesn't tell us all the morals. And it does tell us that these people were not perfect. They're just like you and me. And we need to grow in our faith. Well, Abraham was blessed, and he was blessed way too much for the good of the land, or at least arguing with his nephew. And there in Genesis chapter 13, we find a debate of Lot and Abraham. And down toward verse 9, we find verse 6 says the land could not support them. And while they were stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abraham's herders and Lot's. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abraham said to Lot, now here is a step that looking in the right direction. You know, the Bible says you kind of need... you ever seen a horse with blinders on its eyes? You ever seen that? They put these little cups on. Young people, kids, under 20. Anybody there? Anyway, have you ever seen a horse that was pulling a thing and had little cups on the side of its eyes? Why did they have that? Why do they put those on there? Well, somebody over 20, tell me. So they couldn't get distracted, so they could focus on what's ahead. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we need to put blinders on our eyes and look at what we should look at, not what's always going on around us, focusing on the right things. And so whenever they, Lot and Abraham, were in this thing, Abraham said, well, you go wherever you want, now go the other way. Abraham could be generous because he knew God had promised a blessing. We can be generous because we know God promises us a blessing. If we're faithful to him, if we follow him, we can be generous. We don't need to take advantage of every situation. We don't need to win every battle. We don't need to win every argument even. Because God says he will be with us and he will take what we do and make what we do a blessing. Even if we lose something in the process. And I think too many Christians, while they say they believe in God and they do in one respect, but they don't, we don't take him at his word. If he promises he'll be with us, he'll guide us, he'll guard us, he'll protect us, then we should take him at his word. Just like Abraham did. Lot looked with human eyes. As we look at chapter 13 and verse 10, it said, Lot looked around, saw the whole plain of Jordan, towards Zoar, and it was well watered like the garden of the Lord and the land of Egypt. This was before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. So Lot chose himself the whole plain. He looked out and said, this is the best land. Now, farmers, as you divide up your land or as your land gets divided up, who's going to take the best land? Who's going to claim the best land? Are they going to be generous and say, well, no, you take the best land? Against human nature, for us to follow the pattern of generosity that Abraham laid out. Now, if we look a little further, and I want to get to this real quick because I could preach an hour sermon, couldn't I, since I got a whole hour before. No, I got to get on the road. But anyhow, I'll try to get as much in as I can. So read fast. Think fast with me. It says in chapter 13, verses 4 through 18, "And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had departed, he trusted the Lord. The Lord blessed him." That's a pattern. That's a pattern that each of us can learn from. We trust the Lord in a difficult situation and do what's right. Okay, get that. Trust the Lord in a difficult situation and do what's right, and God blesses the situation. God helps her. He blesses us in some way, not always materially or not always what we gave up. But if we look at a difficult situation and do what God says, follow the teaching, follow the principles of the Lord, then he turns around and says, okay, let's bless you a bit more. Kind of a pattern in the Bible. Anyhow, he says, look around from where you are, to the north, to the south, to the east and west, verse 15, and all the land you see will I give your offspring forever. Wait a second, Lord. Okay, now wait. I want the land myself. No, he said, I'll give it to your offspring. So Abraham was in a situation where he had to trust God beyond even his own life. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, your offspring could be counted, and go walk through the length and the breadth, and for I am giving it to you. So Abraham went near, and isn't that the promise of faith? Is that a promise of faith? God says, I will give it to you, but not just yet. Do we have promises of God like that? That's why Abraham is called a man of faith, because he had this promise, and yet not quite yet. When we have a promise of the blessings that God has promised, and we go through this life and we have problems and difficulties, that's the not quite yet. That's what faith means. And Abraham saw the promises of God, but he didn't receive them right then. He knew the promises of God were real. He trusted the promises of God were real, and yet he was willing to wait for them and live out his life in a godly way until he died. If we look in chapter 15, I got 14 up here, but it's chapter 15, we see another of these great grand promises of God. After this, the word Lord came to Abraham and said, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your very great reward." Sometimes we get mixed up a little bit and we think the reward and the promise of God is the things he gives us. What does this say? That God is the promise. That having him, you have everything. That's why some people can live in some pretty bad situations and still put their trust in God, because in having him, you have everything. You have eternity. You have hope. You have peace. And sometimes if we look at just our problems or just our situation, we can say, well, man, this is rough. I mean, you know, whatever your situation is, you say, well, this isn't working right, that isn't working right, that isn't. And so we need to focus our attention not on the problems, but on the promises. and focus them on in faith. That's what Abraham did. Abraham didn't look at it and say, well, I got the worst land here. I mean, I'm going to have a tractor that has a tilt control or something so it doesn't fall over, you know, I mean, or whatever difficulties he had. I'm going to have to, you know, have 300 acres instead of 20. And I'm going to have to chase those sheep all over those 300 acres. And yet, he was able to look not at the problems. Whenever you have problems, it's okay to evaluate them honestly. But our look is at the one that promises deliverance, the hope that we have. Look in faith at the one who can solve the problems. Look in faith at the promises God has given each one of us. Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me? Now, Abraham is kind of tweaking this promise a little bit, since I am still childless. Well, Lord, you've promised me. I'm getting close to 100 years old. I don't know this, and the only one left to get this promise is my servant. You said out of, you know, that I would, it would be as a sand seed, and God says, no, Abraham, it's not going to be your servant. And this is kind of a faith builder, really. It's not going to be your servant. It's going to be the one that comes from you. And so Abraham, when he was too old to have children, she was too old to have children, God promised, his promises are true beyond the limitations that we have in our lives. His promises are true beyond every limitation. You say, well, this will never happen. I can't possibly see how this could work out. And yet, when we put our faith in God, he will honor his promises to us. Look with me at Romans chapter 4. It says, against all hope, and this is your faith builder for today, and maybe we'll end with this. Pick it up next week. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. You know, had he not believed, would he have become the father of many nations? Just as it had been said of him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And since he was about 100 years old, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but sounds like something's not working. Maybe it is. Okay. Regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. And this is why it was credited to him for righteousness. He believed God, trusted God, and that was counted to him as righteousness. Whenever we look at life, we need to look in faith, through the eyes of faith. What are you looking for in life? What are you looking for in Christ? Are you looking for the things that really matter and that he can give? What are you looking for in a church. Sometimes people look for the wrong things in the wrong places. They're expecting church to do something that they need to do on their knees. They're expecting church to fulfill, or they're expecting church to be a place where they're perfect people. Is that ever the case? All the perfect people, please stand up. No. There are many things the church can do. But we need to look at these things in faith. We need to look into the Bible. What are we looking for in the Bible? It does have the answers, but sometimes you have to put them together. What are we looking for in prayer? God can hear prayers and answer them, but sometimes we have to get up and do some of the legwork. Put legs on your prayers. Abraham looked in faith to God. Where do we look in faith? Where do we find our answers, our hopes, our happiness, our peace? There in John chapter 14, skipping a bit here. He says, and I think this is promise was to his disciples who were waiting and worrying, and he said he was going to not come back, or said he was going to die, be sacrificed, crucified. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. What problems or troubles are you going through? You believe in God. Do you believe in God? Jesus says, believe also in me. You believe in God, believe in Jesus. Jesus promises to be with us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus promises that he paid for our salvation by his blood. He promises all things that you ask of my Father. Ask the Father in my name, I will do it. Believe in God, believe in Jesus. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you by my side, or take you to be with me, so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said, of course, well, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Kind of still thinking on the human level. How can we know the way? What's the answer? What's the answer? The answer is found. And once you get this clear in your head, the answer is found in Jesus. A personal, intimate, lasting, ongoing relationship with him. You can know him, you can talk to him, you can ask of him, you can seek him. And he says, I'll come. I'll be with you. I'll be inside of you. He promises to hear our prayers. He promises to speak to us. He promised us the gift of the Holy Spirit so that he could be with us always, even to the end of the world. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Even though we don't always know the question or what we're looking for, he will give us the answer. He will give us the hope. He will give us the direction. He'll give us the purpose. He'll give us the peace. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the direction, the pathway. I am the truth. Any truth that you don't understand, I am it. And I am the life. I am the life giver. Whoever comes to the Son, he can have life and have it more abundantly. Come to me, Jesus says, and I'll give you life. And I'll give it with abundance. He wants us to have that personal, intimate, direct relationship with him. And sometimes I think that we put religion as kind of like something that it's there, but it's not there. I don't know how to describe it. Sometimes but this is not a religion. This is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And you can know him, and he can be real. And I want to encourage you, fall in love with Christ. Look at his life. Look at his pattern. Look at what he did. Look at his love for you. And just like you might, some of you young guys might see this pretty girl and you want to get in a relationship with her. Hopefully you've already done that with your wife, if your wife is sitting beside you and you're married. But you look at this situation, you want to get to know them. You want to see everything about them. You want to know how they think. You want to know who they are. You want to know everything about them. That's the way, even in a bigger picture, we need to know about Jesus. More about Jesus, let me know. More about him. Because he is both the answer to your needs right now and your connection to the Father. There is no way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. God bless you, and you have a wonderful Sabbath, and I hate to leave out on the good singing and worship time that you're going to have, but pray for us as we go that God will bless our trip. Thank you.